standpoint is there's a sefer that was first printed in the mid 1700s. It's called the Priya Sadeh. The author of the name is Reb Meir Mizrachi, and he writes that the reason why Aaron's two children died was because Aaron HaKohen named his children the wrong name. He writes that Aaron, it's unbelievable. He writes that Aaron's first two children were Nadav Avihu. He says Nadav was named for his father-in-law. His father-in-law was Aminadav. So his first son he named after his shver. His second son he named Avihu. He's my father. That was for his father's side. He says this sefer that because he reversed the order, he's supposed to name for the husband's side, first baby, wife's side, second baby. That's where Nadav Avihu died. It's unbelievable. He writes that the reason why Nadav Avihu died is because Nadav, then the first son was Nadav. Nadav was named for his father-in-law, Elisheva Bas Aminadav. So because Aaron HaKohen reversed the accepted practice, which was the guy gets the first name, the girl gets the second name, he reversed that order. Because he reversed that order, he got punished that his two sons died. Unbelievable.
That's not our order.
No, it's not our, ours is relevant. That's not our Ashkenazic order. Sfaradim still do that. So it's on. When I came across this, it blew my mind. Then I found it's brought down like that in the Ben Ish Chaim Parashas Shoftim, and I found it from the Marsham. Now the Ben Ish Chaim and the Marsham are both contemporaries of the 1800s. This sefer is the 1700s, but like, what happened? No one said this pshat before. So I don't have a copy of the sefer Priyaritz. I only saw it quoted, and he writes Mikra Omru Chazal. He says Chazal said this reason, and he quotes a medrash. So I look up the medrash. It doesn't say that in the Medrash. The Medrash says that Aaron HaKohen should have had four kids that died. Instead, two kids died. And that doesn't really stem in his pshat. Because according to his pshat, only the first two that he got the names wrong. But also, I don't understand is why did it. I understand maybe Nadav. What did Avihu do? Meaning Avihu, he fixed it. So Bishlam, if the mistake was the first name, okay, so you get one mistake. But the Avihu wasn't the mistake. And again, this is obviously a much bigger question. Why should he get punished? Because Aaron HaKohen sins. It's a fascinating discussion. But I'm still researching. I was on the phone with Professor Lyman on Friday. We're trying to still dig deep in where exactly does this originate from. And the Beis Chaim Zonnefeld points out, he says, I don't get it. How can that be pshat? Ashkenazim have been doing this for years. Ashkenazim always go, the girl gets the first baby, then the boy gets the second one. So how could it be that Aaron Cohen's two sons died because of something Ashkenazim have been doing for hundreds of years? Now, to be fair and honest, if you look in the Daz Zakein and the Baal HaTosfos and Parshas Vayeshev, it does allude to the practice that boys get the first name. You look over there in the Pesukim over there when it describes Yehuda and his wife. So it says the first baby, Vayikra, he called. The second baby, Vatikra, she called. And the third baby, it says again, Vatikra, she called. So the Daz HaKadosh asks, I thought it was supposed to be him, she, then he. So the Daz HaKadosh says you have to be the rest of the Pesuk. It wasn't say the end of the Pesuk. He was out of town. Yehuda was out of town when the baby was born, so she got the name. So there is such a shot in the Rishonim. So I asked Professor Lyman, I said, so now we have Rishonim. You know, whether or not this shot with another value is true, I don't know. But we have Rishonim. Rishonim make it very clear. So I said, so when did it change? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky came out with a sefer. He has many svarim. So one of his svarim is all about names. So that sefer, he doesn't say when it changed, but he gives a svar to why it changed. Why is it that Ashkenazi custom, everyone knows that the girl gets the name first? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes, because she's the one who had to deal with the pregnancy. She suffered the 9 months. She was the one with the nausea. She was the one with the morning sickness. She was the one with the back pain. That's why she gets the first name. So my only kasha is she should get every name.
Yeah.
Like that, she should get every name. So Bavaja has a tshuva, a fascinating tshuva in Yabi Omer. We explain, so why does Taka the guy get the first name? What's the svara? So he says because the guy is the one who actually has a mitzvah peririvya. We know that women don't have peririvya. They don't have the mitzvah peririvya. So that's why they get the first name. Then he gives another svara. He says, really, the fetus belongs to the husband. And we did in the sugya of abortion, we pointed this out, that in the eyes of the Torah, the fetus belongs not to the husband, to the father of the baby. And that's why Paiskim write, if you want to do an abortion, halachically, you have to get consent from the husband. It's his baby. Right? If a guy goes over to a pregnant lady and punches her in the stomach, and she loses the baby, that's called the mevelodis. Who gets the mevelodis? The man, not her. So contrary to what they say on the left, it's not her baby, it's actually his baby. So that's why he explained, maybe that's why he gets the first baby. But again, these are all pshetlach and shtiklach and all very interesting. But at the end of the day, we're still researching. Professor Lyman said he'll get back to me. When exactly did it change? It seems like there was such a practice. And this to me is unbelievable. And that's why Nadav Avihu died because of that. The problem that I have is that it's not a kasha because the Bavadi writes in the Tshuva that the guy can forgo his right and give it to his wife. He quotes a Tshuva's Rashbash. The Tshuva's Rashbash writes that Rabbeinu Yoina and the Rashba were Muchutonim. The Ramban's son married Rabbeinu Yoina's daughter. Rabbeinu Yoina's daughter was pregnant. And Rabbeinu Yoina was very ill and he died. And the Ramban told his son, don't name for me, because they name for the living, name for Yeshver who just died. So Rabbi Vadya writes in the Shuvah, you see that you could forego the right. So maybe Aaron HaKohen forgave, you know, he was Meichel his right to give it to his Shver. Now the
That's
Ben
by naming clearly what.
Right. So Mimel's on, it's a riot to the Ben Ishchai, because the Ben Ishchai writes, you can't be Meichel. So I guess if you go like that, then it's a riot to the Ben Ishchai that you can't be Meichel. But according to Avadja, that's the way Taka Paskas in Sefer. He says, if let's say, for example, a girl gets, they get married and they want to name the first, but he says, grad, if one is dead and one is alive, you should name for the dead. Even though Svarim nominated for the live, but he says if let's say his father's alive and her father died, you should name for her father, like the story with Rabbi Yain. So it's Svarim today stuck with it. The boy gets the first name.
My daughter actually married a Svarim, so now I'm wondering who gets the first one.
So someone told me that they had such a Shiloh.
That's
he,
right there.
So he told someone told me that Shiloh also. They married a Svarim girl and they said, what'd they tell me? I forgot which way it goes already. I guess you have to. If the boy is Sephardi, I guess he retains. It's a good question. Usually, Minhagim, you go after the husband, but some Minhagim are different. We spoke about this once before. Right. Depending on the reasoning, all that. It's an interesting Shiloh. But that to me was just a blow. You know, Chazal Mutcher, if you look at the Gemara, comes up with different reasons why another baby died. They were Shay Sayayin. They went to basically a Hoyrel Bifnei Rabban. There's a lot of other reasons. This reason was like, whoa. That's like a very interesting reason. But okay, nonetheless. It's something definitely to talk about, something to figure out when exactly the things change, at least in the Ashkenazic world. But it's good to know the Svarim, they haven't changed. They're still sticking to it. Okay, so we're holding over here in the Gemara. Let's just get back to the Gemara for a second, because this Gemara is going to be very, very important. But Lineder, in subsequent weeks, when we're going to be discussing the question of parental involvement in tuition, which whenever it costs you in the wallet, you want to listen carefully, right? Or potentially cost you in the wallet. So we'll have to see whether or not there's a valid claim for, let's say, a tuition board, to say, well, listen, your son or your daughter, we'll have to see if it makes a difference, your son or your daughter, is not paying their fair share of tuition. And you're at a different stage in your life, so you could pay the tuition. So we're demanding the tuition from you, but teiras halacha. We say, no, you owe the tuition because you're mechuyav to pay for your kid's tuition. What would that be based on? So we have a Gemara being Kedushin. Let's start from the beginning. Says the Gemara, ad heichin chayv odom laman es b'nai teira. Until how far does one have to learn to teach their son teira, which would sound like to be a question of quantity. And how much do you have to teach him? You have to teach him every Shas and Shuvas. You have to teach him all the Svarim here. Every Shas, everything on Aitzar HaChachma, everything on Hebrew books. You never finish the mitzvah, right? What is the mitzvah? So the Gemara says, I'm Yehuda Mashmuel, Kigayin Zvulam and Don. No, do like Zvulam and Don. Who's Zvulam and Don? Shalimdu Avi Aviv Mikra Mishnah V'Tamar Halachas V'Agadis. Zvulam and Don learned from his grandfather. He learned Mikra Mishnah Tamar Halachas V'Agadis, which sounds like basically everything. Problem is, it says in the Brisa that once you teach your son Mikra, you don't have to teach him Mishnah. So we discussed last week what's Mikra. So we pointed out last week was Machloikis Rishayim between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi learned Mikra is just the Ta, not the Nach part. And Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, it's all of Tanakh. But that's all it is. After Tanakh, you finished. So the Gemara has a kashas. How can you tell me that I have to be like Zvulun Ben Don, who taught his son everything, if I only have to teach my son Mikra? Omer Rav, Mikra is a Torah, Mikra is Torah. And for the Gemara, Kizvulun Ben Don, Veloy Kizvulun Ben Don. No, we're not exactly like Zvulun Ben Don. We're somewhat like Zvulun Ben Don. Why? Kizvulun Ben Don, Shalim da Avi Ovid. So the Gemara says, no, what we take from Zvulun Mandan is not how much to learn, but who has to teach. So we learn from Zvulun Mandan a new chiddush that not only does a father have a chiyuv Talmud Torah, a grandfather has a chiyuv Talmud Torah. How much does the father have to teach his son? No, but a son only has to teach his, a father only has to teach his son Mikra. But the takeaway from Zvulun Mandan was a new chiddush that there's a grandfather obligation in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Frakti Gemara, really? Vavi Aviv Mimechayiv? Our grandparents really mechayiv in teaching their children Torah. Time we learned the brisa. You should teach your sons. The word b'neichem is excluding grandchildren. So how can you tell me that you're mechayiv to teach your grandchildren? I umani mechayiv, but there's done another pasuk. Vahidatam levanecha, you should teach your sons and your grandsons. Loi malach that teaches me should call a mechayiv as b'nei Torah. Anyone who teaches their son Torah, malalav akasav ki ilamdei loi ulavnoi ulben b'nei atzer kol deris. So what do you see clearly? That there is no mitzvah to teach your grandchildren, because we learn from the pasuk. We learn from the pasuk. Mata moisim es b'neichem, b'neichem b'loy b'nei sechem. It excludes one's grandson. So how can you tell me I have to be like Zvulun Madon, whose grandfather taught him? And for the Gemara, no. Who the Amar ki atani the Tanya? He'll go like that. Other opinion. The Tanya we learned in the Brayso. Mata moisim es b'neichem. Ainly el b'neichem. I only know my grandchildren. B'nei b'neichem. My children. B'nei b'neichem. And I don't know my grandchildren. Kamaloyim v'adat ol b'neichol ol b'nei v'nei. No, I learned from that pasuk. I learned from that pasuk there's a grandparent obligation. So why does the Torah say the word b'neichem? B'neichem v'loi b'noisei. So we have machlokes tanoim. Do we learn from the pasuk of b'neichem to exclude grandchildren? Or do we learn from the pasuk b'nechem to exclude daughters? And vaydat olvenechel olvenecha teaches me grandchildren.
Is this the only mitzvah we were talking about, grandparents being involved?
Yeah, yeah, this would be it. There would be no general mitzvah of chinuch on grandparents.
But no, what meaning I'm saying in general,
right? No. We're going to talk about that. Very good. And we don't find anywhere else that there's a parental obligation besides for maybe Talmud Torah, because there's a special pasuk vaydat olvenechel olvenecha. We're going to see that that's going to be very relevant in our conversations because we're going to try to figure out. We'll see. There's a gevaldik machoikis between Chakira from Reb Baruch Ber's son-in-law with a shtickle from Reb Moshe and Dibbes Moshe, a very fundamental question of how do you understand A, the parental chiv of Talmud Torah, and even more so the grandparent chiv in Talmud Torah. Yeah.
Is your question more like how does that compare, let's say, to teaching the kid to swim kind of thing?
I was just asking if there's anything or any other mitzvah out there that's relevant to drink.
Right.
Other than this.
Right.
So there are other mitzvahs.
Oh, very good. That's what we're going to have to get to. We're going to have to see two things. How do we understand the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Is it like teaching your kid to swim? And the nafkaminas would be, do you have to pay for it and other things? And the parental, the grandparent type of obligation, that we don't find anywhere else. We'll see Belinada next week. There's a fascinating Tshuva Rebbe Kivager, where he makes an argument that a grandparent should be able to make the brichas hamila when the father is not there because he has a shaykhis. We'll have to get to it. But the kasha that someone pointed out last week, and I just want to see a little bit more about it this week, was the kasha was like this. We have a pasuk in the Chumash. Belimadatem oisem es b'nechem. You should teach your b'nechem, your sons. So we have two choices in the Gemara. What do you do with that pasuk? Either b'nechem v'loy b'noisechem, your sons and not your daughters, or your sons and not your grandchildren. So the Achrayim are bothered with the kasha. Someone mentioned this last week. I forgot already. But take a look at number two. The Sefer Hamak that quotes from the Pnei Yeshua has a kasha. What's his kasha? Number two. Hiksha b'sefer Pnei Yeshua. The Lamanda Omer l'kamon d'memayit b'neichem b'loy b'nei b'neichem menon lo l'mayit b'nois. Frek the Sefer. Frek the Pnei Yeshua. I don't get it. We have one pasuk. V'limadtem oisem es b'neichem, teach your sons. Sons are excluding something. So frek the Pnei Yeshua, if you hold that it's excluding grandchildren, so how do you know to exclude daughters? Meaning, according to that sheet in the Gemara, we don't paskin like.
Well,
no. How do you know it? We learn it from b'neichem v'loy b'nei seichem. But if you use the chumash for b'neichem v'loy b'nei b'neichem, how do you know the exclude the daughters?
Where is stop where you think
exactly
continue,
right? You have to theorize one more step. The way the Gemara presents to us is that there's machlokes. One man d'amar holds b'neichem v'loy b'nei seichem, that b'neichem excludes daughters, but in a chanami there is a mitzvah to teach your grandsons. And the other man d'amar says no. The word b'neichem comes to exclude grandparents. So, fact the Pnei Yeshua, I don't understand. If you use the word b'neichem to exclude your grandparents, so where's there left to exclude your daughters? And the Pnei Yeshua adds, I didn't put it on the sheet, he adds, and no one holds your mechoyv to teach your daughters Torah. Even this man d'amar that holds your potter from teaching your grandchildren, he admits you don't have to teach your daughters. Well, where does he get it from?
Teach your sons and no one else.
Oh, very good. So to me, when I was asked this question last week, without knowing the Sefer HaMakna, I said, what do you mean? If you take the Torah literally and you say b'neichem and no one else, who's the no one else? The daughter, the grandson, the kids. It excludes everyone. That's the Machna's answer. And for the Machna, number two, he says, v'nira dekulu michat kronavku. Once the Torah says the word your sons means not your grandsons, not your daughters, not anyone else. That's it. That's who's excluded. So it's all from the same pasuk. Very simple. It didn't need to. It's self-understood. Yeah. Once I know now that b'neichem eveloy, once I know the Torah says only your sons, and I'm going to exclude, let's say, for example, your grandsons. So if your grandsons, because you're taking the pasuk literally.
How do we know
who's three
daughters?
And the Gemara was initially on Daf Chof Tesem Beis, the Gemara was searching for sources. Now the Gemara is saying, 1 second, you can't double dip. The answer is you could double dip because the pasuk of B'nechem excludes many things. It excludes, you have to look at the pasuk like this, B'nechem and anyone who's not your B'nechem. So your daughter's not your B'nechem and your grandchildren are not your B'nechem, so everyone's excluded. I thought that was the simple teretz. But take a look in the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua comes up with a much more longish teretz. He says, says the Pnei Yeshua, if you learn from the word b'neichem to exclude grandchildren, wow. Says the Pnei Yeshua, so how do you talk to know that daughters are excluded? He says it's from a kal v'chomer. If the Torah says I don't have to teach my grandchildren, I definitely don't have to teach my daughters. Now to the ear, that sounds very, very funny. Why? Because your grandsons are a second generation removed. So yes, of course, you don't have to teach your grandsons because they're a second generation removed. But your daughters, that's the first generation. Says the Pnei Yeshua, no. So says the Pnei Yeshua, but not in Judaism. In Judaism, your son's son would perhaps outrank your daughter in certain halachas. Let's say with Yerusha purposes and other things. So therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, if the Torah tells me that even though my grandson, who really I'm, again, this is not nice to say, closer to, at least halachically, to my grandson than to my daughter, I don't have to teach him Torah. So kol shken, I don't have to teach my daughter. Right. So,
but if you don't know independently that the woman is not mechuyev to learn Torah, so the grandson has a parent to teach him, has a father.
So we didn't get to that yet. We didn't talk about the discussion. This is an important akuda. The machloek, the shayla about teaching your grandchildren, does that mean when the father is involved or the father is not involved? Because the tuition board call you up and say, listen, your son's paying full tuition, tough as a chiddush b'zman hazeh, and we want you to pay tuition also. You both should pay tuition. That doesn't make any sense. So we'll see, the Me'iri learns the whole shayla of grandparents only when the parents are not involved. Parents are missing, whatever the case may be. They died, they're not around. So then there's a grandparent obligation that falls in. But yeah, I agree with you. The point that you're making is that the raya from Nachla is not necessarily a good raya. What the chiddush of this Pnei Yeshua to me is the Pnei Yeshua is saying that he believes in Svara, he calls it a Kal V'Chomer. He believes that it makes sense that if the Torah excludes grandchildren, it means the Torah is saying even someone who you have a halachic relationship with, you don't have to teach Torah. Koshke and the daughter where you have perhaps a weaker halachic relationship. The relationships are so different. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is so different than the mitzvah of Nachla. Yeah, that's why I think it's the chiddush. It's a...
That they
would go to. Right, right. Because right. We had that. Yeah, the Pnei Yeshua is very, again, the Pnei Yeshua is very hard to the ear to sound like that a grandson has a closer relationship than a daughter. It sounds very strange. That's his chiddush. So he learns So according to the Pnei Yeshua, it's taka not learned from the pasuk. Once the Torah said, I don't have to teach my grandchildren, now I also don't have to teach my daughter. That's right. That's correct. According to the Pnei Yeshua, it comes out something interesting. It comes out that how do you know you don't have to teach your daughters? It's not from a pasuk. It's from a Kal V'Chomer. While according to the Machne, it's included in the original pasuk. What? I'm with you. That's what this... Right, I don't know why he wasn't comfortable saying that. I don't know why he thought we'll come back to it in a second because we'll take a look at number four, the Mitzvah Eisen. Mitzvah Eisen has a kash over here, right? There's a man, the Gemara says that you don't have to teach your grandchildren Torah. So he has a kash. He says, right? We learned Kedusha many, many years ago here in Dav Dalet, going back years ago. So we had a Gemara over there. The Gemara says that if an Eishes Kohen marries out, she marries Yisrael. So once she has children, she's no longer allowed to eat chum. The question is, what happens if she has grandchildren? Right? She has children. No, it depends if she has. No, then the husband dies. So if she doesn't have children, so that's how it changes. So over there, the Gemara makes a comment. I don't need a pasuk because the bnei banim areim kibonim. This is what everyone knows. Everyone knows the svar of bnei banim areim kibonim. So frankly, mitzvah is bnei banim areim kibonim. So why are you not chayav to teach your grandchildren Torah? What happened to the rule of Bnei Banim and Kibbonim? So the Mitzvah Eisen gives us a very good rule to remember. He says, Hasam loiksev ben elazera. He says, you have to look at the wording of the Chumash. When the by Kohen, it says, Vizera ainla. She has no Zera. On there, a Zera, grandchildren are Zera. But here the Torah says the word Bonim. Avalehechad iksev ben, sarich kra l'rebuye Bnei Banim. Whenever the Torah says the word ben, it always needs to come include grandchildren, because Banecha do not automatically include grandchildren. And I'll prove it to you. Look in the Chumash. Ulman to saper ba'aznei bincha, uben bincha. Who needs the ben bincha? What happened to banim and kibanim? The answer is it's not always like that. You have to always furoise and see of the what the Torah said. I'll prove to you another pasuk. The pasuk we quote in our Gemara. Lo'idata v'idata levanecha, ulevanei banecha. The Torah always speaks out.
But Bnei Banim is Zera.
Yes.
And that's my great-great-great-great-great grandson.
That's what he's saying. That's his wish. He's saying that's Chandler Gemara. He's saying that's Chandler Gemara. Yes, and he's explaining that's misused. He's saying people misuse it. It doesn't mean B'chol HaTorah Kulo. It means whenever the Torah uses the word Zera, we say Banim Areim Kim Bnei Banim. That's his Kiddush. Now, the only kasha I have is when you get to CBTS Mitzrayim. It says over there, V'gadat HaLevincha. But there's a shayla in the Paiskim, do you have a chiv to teach your grandchildren? So according to his rule, you would not. But he only says bincha. There's no special limud uben bincha, so it means you should only have to teach your children. You shouldn't have to teach. Well,
and then your elders get something from your elders.
Yeah. You have to. It might be from somewhere else, meaning from the pasuk of the gadol tel bincha, according to the mitzvah eisen, would stop at children, because according to him, whenever it says the word ben, you need another limud to include grandchildren. So you need to have a pasuk like ulamata saper ba'azne bincha uben bincha. You always have to have a secondary follow up pasuk.
Include women, daughters. I mean.
So by gratitude, Hilchas Pesach, we assume it does. But again, it might be telling this machlokes over here.
Right.
Why over there wouldn't you say bin chavolay bin esach? Right. That's a good point.
But the basic level would be looking, Torah seems to say, for Datan, Renatan, a general premise of saying, you're supposed to keep this going.
Right.
To the grandparents. So they're looking, they're trying to lean into that. But I mean, that's the basic, how do you deal with that? I mean, it seems.
In what regard?
In regard to saying, why should there be a question? Meaning,
because the other mandama uses this passage to teach you that the day you teach your son, is as if you, it's referred to teaching your son. It's not referred to teaching your grandson. Then he settles out of the passage. Right. That's really my choice to read this passage. Right, 100%. So we left off last week with a kasha. This I only added these sources because someone brought up the kasha. Yes, last week I wanted to verify. But we left off last week's share with a very, very big kasha. Kasha, which dates back to the earliest place I saw it was asked, was the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the 1700s, is that according to our Gemara, take away from our Gemara, this is l'chore not arguable. Everyone agrees that the father's mitzvah ends at Mikra. So let's go l'chumra. Let's say Mikra means Tanakh. Fine. So after you teach your son Tanakh, you are done. You have absolutely no mitzvah to teach your son Mishnah, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Shas, Paiskim, Shas, and Shuvas. You're done. So we had a Gemara in Daf Chav Tesem Beis. We spent a lot of time working on the Gemara. The Gemara had a question: what happens if you want to go learn Torah and your son wants to go learn Torah? Right, there's a smicha program starting somewhere, and there's only enough funds for either you or your son to go. So the Gemara said, well, it depends. If your son is very sharp and very smart, and he'll get the learning better than you, he goes before you. And if not, you go before him. So correct the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, I don't understand. Such a program sounds like you're beyond Mikra. Right? It's not a question of who gets to learn Chumash. We're talking about, you know, if your son is sharp, we're not talking about he's sharp, that he gets the Tanakh better than you. We must be talking about what we call today advanced learning. What do you mean advanced learning? I'm not mechuyev to teach my son advanced learning. So what's the whole shayla of the Gemara? I got my. We're trying to figure out who gets to go to the smicha program, me or my son. So zok the Gemara. Well, it depends. If your son is sharper, he gets to go first. Why? I have no mitzvah to be mechanech my son that he becomes a paisik and he gets a smicha. That's beyond my obligation. Once I finish teaching him Tanakh, I'm done. I'm finished. He's now on his own. So if he's on his own, he's the same status as the kid down the block. So if there's one slot for the smicha program and it's either me or the kid down the block, who wins? That's a no-brainer. I beat the kid down the block. So my son is like the kid down the block. Because my son, after he finishes, after I taught him Tanakh, I'm finished with him. So how do you learn the whole Gemara? Chav Tesem the base. Yeah. So that's what I want to bring up again a little bit more today. The shayla of the Gemara, when we learned it, made a lot of sense when we're discussing, I have a mitzvah and you have a mitzvah. The question is, whose mitzvah is stronger? But now we're coming out, we're saying that I have no more mitzvah anymore to him. I'm done with him. I'm finished. I finished. So if I'm finished with him, why on earth should he go first? Let's say he'll be stronger than me. He'll be the biggest Talmud Chacham, and I will be the bottom of the ship. So what? I have a mitzvah Talmud Torah. I have no mitzvah vis-a-vis him. So I should go first. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in number 5 asks this question. He says, yeah, our Gemara is clear. No one argues. Our Gemara is agreed. Everyone holds. Rava says, Lomdu Mikra Eimelam Mishnah Mikra Zutayra. Everyone agrees. Less man the poly that the mitzvah goes beyond mikra. So if the mitzvah doesn't go beyond mikra, so then the shayla chav tes on the base is almost impossible to understand.
That's completely accepted.
The halacha?
Yeah.
Well, there is a sheet that we'll see. We'll get to in Shulchan Aruch. The chiddush of the Ramah. The Ramah learns the whole Gemara is only talking about where you don't have enough time or money to do everything. The lo yitzur, you have time and money to do both, then you should do everything. But I'll pee the Gemara, the way it presents here, the way it says in Shulchan Aruch and Rambam, the father's obligation to Talmud Torah is only Mikra, which is Machloik is Tanakh or just Torah. Shulchan Aruch is Taka Machmir, like the Rambam, that it's Torah Nevi Miksulim, but after that, you're done. Strictly speaking. Now, so let's see. After today's shiur, it's not so strictly speaking anymore because we'll see how the Achrayim come up with creative pshat. So if you take a look over in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, I apologize, I don't have a better print of Shulchan Aruch HaRav. So he writes this. Says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the time of Nimuka Ima, the E.F. Shalomar, he says, I find it very hard to learn like Rashi. What does Rashi say? Rashi said, we saw it last week, that the father's obligation is strictly just for Mikra. If that would be so, then when it comes to anything post-Tanakh, When it comes to anything in the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh world, the son is like anyone else. So he says it can't be. Why? He said, because if that's true, how could the Gemara tell me later on that the son beats me out to go to yeshiva because he's smarter than me? Who cares? I have a mitzvah deraisa to learn kol ha'Torah kula. I have a rebbe who's going to teach me kol ha'Torah kula. My son wants to go, I want to go. What about my son? What does my son have any kedim over here? I am done with teaching my son Torah. I checked, I'm finished the mitzvah. V'teida, the Omer Rebbe Yehuda, im hayu b'noi, the Gemara says if the son is sharper, b'noi kodmoi. He says, if I care, I'll bring you right, b'noi dafka. I mean, let's say, for example, there's enough money for me to go with the kid down the block to go. And the kid down the block is a much bigger Talmud Chacham than me. He'll become a real place. I won't. Says the Shulchan Aruch, of course the kid down the block doesn't win. Because you have a mitzvah to learn Torah. However successful you'll be, you have a mitzvah to learn Torah. So says the Shulchan Aruch, your son is like that kid. Your son has the exact same halachic status because you are done with your mitzvah. Okay, fine. So he says, Elevade. Here's where the Shulchan Aruch Rav comes up with the Chiddush. Elevade de belimud benoy mikayim mitzvahs ulmata moisim es b'neichem belimud Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, no, not so fast. Avada, when you send your son to yeshiva and you teach him Gemara and Shas and Paiskim, whatever, and Lamdis, you are being mikayim the mitzvah. He says, because if you think about it, the pasuk of the Malatim is really referring to Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. He says, the Iker Hakosav Kaya Torah Shel Ba'al Peh, Gdi Yisrael Shberg Beis Brachos. The Gemara actually says, that possible is referring to Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. So you can't tell me that the father only has to teach Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. Aye, so what does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says only have to teach him Mitra? So he writes in the next paragraph, V'omer Rava Zu Torah V'leikama Kala Torah Dafka Al Torah Stam Tehainu Shetchilas Limudei Shel Ben Kredim Shigia Leben Sheish Sheyuchal Azoy V'Saviv Leilich LeBeis HaSefer Kala Yer. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara means what's the father's obligation before he says him to Yeshiva? What's the parental obligation when he's still in your house and he's still full time by you? What's your obligation then? He says, no, the Gemara's question is not when does your mitzvah end? It's when does this chapter of your mitzvah end? What's this chapter? What we call a home education, homeschooling. What's homeschooling? Before you send him to yeshiva, you can't just send him to yeshiva and then say, okay, now the job starts. No. There has to be first homeschooling. And post-homeschooling, you send him to yeshiva to the next stage. That's what the Gemara meant. Omer Rava Zu Mikra Mikta means that's what you teach him at home before you send him to yeshiva. Not that that's what you teach him and then you're done afterwards. And then if you know yeshiva, then you'll be stuck with everything. Right. So then he continues. He says, He says, but it usually wasn't practical to get to Nevi'im and Ksuvim by the time he sent it to yeshiva. So that's why it was only the Torah part. That's maybe why some Rishayim learn only Torah, because you didn't have a chance to get Nevi'im and Ksuvim done. The Davim Melamdi Ma'at Ma'at. So he writes, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, Mikra is what the father has to do himself. That's the parental obligation. I guess he felt that there's more, again, I'm not saying he has to agree with the Rambam. Right, which we'll see in a second is a problem. Hold on. So he says, Avo Mishayucha Lazoi Visavi, the Yedach Lubes HaSefer, Eina La'av Rak Litroyach Limtzalei Malam Mishayla Medenu. Almost Alom the Shoshokhan Acharav. He says that till he leaves home, that's your parental obligation to teach him. After he leaves home, then it's your job to make sure someone teaches him. It almost sounds like, and Rabbi Yaakov has a line like this in Emes Liakiv, that under a certain age, it's a mitzvah shebegufo. Meaning to teach your mikra is taka mitzvah shebegufo. I have to teach my son mikra. And afterwards, I have to make sure he learns the Mishnah, Gemara, and all the other things. But till six, that's my egin echiyav, what he calls my obligation. And then he says a chiddush over, which we'll come back to the nether later. He says, you have to do it. And if you can't find someone to teach your kids for free Mishnah, Gemara, you got to pay for it. You don't have to teach him. That's what the Gemara meant. Ad heichin, the Gemara says, means how much do you as a parent have to sit down and fight with your kid to learn? The answer is Mikra.
This last thing that he just said now, that you have to pay someone.
That's for Mishnah Gemara, yeah. The Zok to Shulchan Aruch Rav, that's Pshat in the Gemara. Avada, the mitzvah extends forever and ever. Oh, but the mitzvah should be goofy that you have to do to sit down and learn with your son, that stops at Mikra. So therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, now the Gemara is very gishmak. There's only enough funds for me or my son to go to yeshiva. I still have to pay for his tuition after that age. So that would come out, according to him, it might be a shayla of shlichus on mikra. Would I be able to hire someone? Right? You know, when you hire a rebbe to teach your kid, is the pshat that he's the shlich of you? Or das is a keem of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to make sure he learns. So according to this, it might have to be with some lumbus of shlichus or something along those lines. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't like this pshat. Why? You know, it says mikra. So according to him, it's the question of you yourself.
Right.
And then the Gemara answers.
And then it streams into
everything. Right. Then the Gemara brings it back and says, no, lam de mikra ain lam de milam de mishnah, which is all referring to the parental physical obligation.
I know.
It's, just like it's back and forth a little bit, yeah. The Gemara. Yeah, 100%. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out he doesn't like this pshat. He says because it's against Rashi. This whole pshat of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is against Rashi. Why? He writes in number 6, Linnaeus Daiti Yev Shalai Makin. You can't say such a pshat, because it would come out according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav that even post-Mikra, the father would still have a chiyuv Talmud Torah. And that's against Rashi. Shai Rashi, Pirish Lahedya, Ein Amalam de Mishnah, Ein Choyivaz B'nai Olav, Ela B'Mikra, Mikan Ve'elach Yilmar Hu Ba'atzmoy. Rashi says very clearly that after Mikra, you are done. According to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, you're not done after Mikra. You're done one level. You're done the mitzvah, Sheba Gufoy, whatever, but you still got to pay. He still got to find them in yeshiva. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says he doesn't like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Rashi's pretty clear.
Meaning, on his, meaning not with the father. But Atzmo by himself. How's he going to do by himself?
Meaning you want to learn Yilmar. You want to learn Yilmar Hula Atzmo is the opposite of the father, Shabagufay. But Ein Hachanami, it doesn't mean without the father's involvement. Okay, maybe.
Right, if the kid somehow is independently wealthy at age 6.
Right. Or if he finds a malamed that, meaning maybe Rashi's emphasis of mekan ve'eluchu yilmar hu la'atzmai doesn't mean without the father. It just means it's no longer the father's physical choy versus, maybe you could say that. Maybe you can make Rashi shtim with the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Chazon Ish has a totally different way of thinking over here. And he comes up with a gevaldik chiddush. Writes the Chazon Ish in number 7. He's read a story with the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish was learning with some Baal Bas or something, and the guy was not getting the learning. Very smart guy, but he wasn't getting the learning. Chazon Ish couldn't understand why this guy was not getting the learning. So he decided one day they were going to take a trip. He went to the ocean, went to the river. And they throw it together. Can you imagine going swimming with the Chazon Ish? Okay, I can't imagine. And Chazon Ish starts splashing him. Splashing him nonstop. Because why are you splashing? Splash back. He splashes back to Chazon Ish. So they come out of the river. They ask the Chazon Ish, what are you doing? He said, I think the reason why you're not getting learning is you're too serious. You have to know how to enjoy life a little bit. Let's come to Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish wasn't exactly a party animal, right? You know? It wasn't the life of the party, the Chazon Ish. He told this fellow, you're too serious. You gotta have, you know, a little joy. And after that, the guy started to get a learning. I would have never thought that person in the story would be the Chazon Ish. I would think of a different God like fill in the blank for the story. So we say over the story with the Chazon Ish, if the story is true. I don't know. But Ein Hachanami, it's Dr. Chazon Ish, number 7, like this. He comes up with a gewaldige yesoid. He writes it this. V'nira de mitzvahs asei ham yuchedes belimut benoi, enei el mikra kedemasik begimot. Says the Chazon Ish, I agree. I'm not going to be like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav who comes up with Chidushim. I think Ein Hachanami, the chiv of the father is only on Mikra. Umiyu adayna avchai b'chinuch b'nei lishmar dark Hashem. Says the Chazon Ish, but there's a new mitzvah. It's called chinuch. So Ein Hachanami, als the mitzvah v'lumatem oisim es b'neichem, I stop at Mikra. Aber my kid's not going to stay from if he doesn't know everything else. Therefore, my mitzvah of chinuch requires me to give him a better education. That's how. Now, this is similar to what we saw once from Rav Moshe. That's how Rav Moshe explains you can't use Maisa money for your daughter's tuition. Right? We pointed out that L'chayr, your daughter's tuition should be able to be used Maisa money. Why? Because you have absolutely no chiv to send your daughters to yeshiva. Rather, some people do that. I think some chassidim do that, and Eretz Yisrael, I think more paiskim hold you could do that, and it's a little cheaper there. But the daughter's tuition is Ein Hachanami is putter, and therefore you can use Maisa money. Rav Moshe held money. Moshe, that since you have a mitzvah to make sure your daughter stays from, you have a mitzvah to get her married, you have a mitzvah. So if you're going to send her to public school, it's not going to work out. So ask your mitzvah of chinuch, you have a mitzvah to send her to yeshiva. So that's really what the Chazon Ish is saying here also. He's saying that when it comes to your sons, Ein Hachanami, after mikra, you're technically done. But what's going to be with his Yiddishkeit? And this is what the Chazon Ish writes. He says,
not just that, it's the next generation. If the daughter is not so from, how is she going to raise
it? Right. 100%.
So he questioned the Gemara then. You're learning, or your son's learning.
Oh, very good. That's where I want to get to in a second. Very good. That's my cash already. So he writes, "Then the schay v'lam the umnis shum the chiyusahi kol shekain toyra shemoytzes moytzachay." I mean, the Gemara is going to tell us later on. We'll hopefully get to it. That why do you have to teach your son a trade? because he needs a way of living. Zokta Chazanish, if he needs a way of physically living, he needs a way of spiritually living. So Zokta Chazanish, it's posh. It goes without saying, you have a mitzvah to teach your son to learn. That might, right. It's not included in the pasuk of Vaydatul Vanecha. The problem I have is, according to this Chazanish, let's go back to the Gemara Daf Chav Tes. I want to go learn in a smicha program. My son wants to go learn in a smicha program. The Gemara says, well, if the son is sharper, he goes first. Why? Why? Bishlam, if we're discussing my mitzvah of Talmud Torah and your mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so we can debate whose mitzvah beats out. But now it's like a different playing field. Now it's my mitzvah of Torah versus my mitzvah of Chinuch. What's the Shaila now? First of all, I would also argue, even if he's not so sharp, Mishtam will still stay firm if he goes to a nice smicha program. You know, it makes it sound like, you know, he'll be more successful. More successful, so what? We're not downing on who's going to be a bigger Rosh Hashiva. We're downing on who's going to stay firm.
You're asking not according to the Shulchan
Aruch. Right, I'm asking according to the Chazanish. According to the Chazanish, that the obligation that we're talking about now is not Talmud Torah. It's Chinuch. So why does Chinuch beat out my mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Bishlam, if it's my mitzvah of Talmud Torah and my son's mitzvah of Talmud Torah, okay, no, I hear. We're in the same ballpark. But now I'm very, very unclear why one beats out the other. Reb Steinemann makes a different observation over here. In Ayos HaShachar, he writes, it comes out an interesting chumrah. According to the Chazanish, let's say you have a case where a lady lost her husband, Nebuch, and now she's the only parent alive. And there is a Shitas Rishayim that mothers have a Chiyuv Chinuch. So it should come out, according to this Chazanish, that mothers are part of teaching their sons Torah. So I wouldn't have to teach him Mikra as a parent, but I have to teach him everything else as Chinuch. Meaning, Ein Echlai, my mitzvah of Talmud Torah I don't have. But the mitzvah of Chinuch I still have if you hold women have a Chiyuv Chinuch. So, writes Reb Steinemann number 8, he says, "Well, the fize la poiskim this really the gam isha chayev is bechinuch baneo. I ain't sugar that bezem bezem helni amalka. Oz im yeshlo lischar melamid. If you have money to pay, if you have to pay a melamid, muchuyev is melamid bina af yoisim and mikra mehatem. You have to teach your son more than mikra. Why? Mikra is just a question of the chiyev of a father to the son. If a mother's out of that shaila, but she has a new chiyev called chinuch." Therefore, she'd have to teach Gemara, Shas, and Paiskim because she has a mitzvah of chinuch. And according to the Chazanish, that additional level of learning is in place for the mitzvah of chinuch.
And he says, mitzvah, did you yourself or not?
You have a mitzvah of chinuch. That's a mitzvah of chinuch. Al-chinuch. According to the Chazanish, teaching yourself Mishnah and Gemara.
No. Mother.
Why?
You know, a mother is a din al chinuch, but al Talmud Torah, she doesn't
have. That's the chiddush of the Chazanish. Chazanish is saying the mitzvah to teach your son Gemara is not al Talmud Torah. Right. It's al chinuch. Bishlam, according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, it's a version of mitzvah Talmud Torah. But like the Chazanish, it's not. It's al chinuch. And if you hold like those Rishonim that hold women have a chiyuv chinuch, says Reb Steinemann, it should come out like that.
Is,
okay.
Is it the general mitzvah or?
Yeah, that might be
Shulchan. And then the mother wouldn't have.
Right. So he's just, again, according to the Chazanish, it's teaching your son Gemara is going to make him a full, a better Jew or overall, sounds like. Okay, so let's take a look in the Rambam now.
She wouldn't have to spend money on it if it's just mitzvah chinuch.
Yeah, you know. And it's so posh you don't have to spend money to do the mitzvah chinuch?
I don't know.
We'll have to talk about it.
What do you mean? Buy your kid a lulav and ashrei?
We'll have to talk about it. Would you have to?
Well, people do and what you enslave to.
Actually, that's what you move. Right. I'm saying we'll have to get to it's going to come up in the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about this. Do you have to spend money to teach your son Torah? So the Pasha says, yeah, you have to spend money on all mitzvahs. That depends on what type of mitzvah it is. Okay. We'll see. Well, hopefully, Blinetta will touch upon this in the next couple of weeks. Let's take a look in the Rambam over here. Very geschmacke Rambam. Now, the Rambam shouldn't be news to us because we saw it last week in Shulchan Aruch. When I show you it's a Rambam, then all of a sudden you look at it with different eyes. Right? It's the Rambam. Kishem shechayiv odom lelamin es benoit. Just like you have a mitzvah to teach your son, kachu chayiv lelamed es ben benoit. So too you have a mitzvah to teach your grandson. Shenema v'adata l'vanecha u'l'vanevanech. Okay. So what's Kiddush number one from the Rambam? He paskins that there is a chiyuv to teach your grandchildren Torah. That's clear. Rambam Paskas Mefurish, like that cheat in the Gemara that holds B'neichem does not exclude grandchildren, and there is a chiyuv to teach your grandchildren. What it also sounds like from the Rambam is Kishem, which sounds like there's a connection between the mitzvah to teach your son Torah and the mitzvah to teach your grandson Torah. It's not, or again, you could argue on that deed, you could say the Rambam is just giving you rules, just like you have to do this, you have to, meaning it's like a checklist. You have to do this, 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 and this, but they're really irrelevant to each other. Yesh Ladam, you could debate that on your own, the Lashon HaRambam. But now let's continue. Says the Rambam, V'loi b'noyu ben b'noyu b'lvad. Zog the Rambam, not only do you have to teach your son and your grandson, Ela mitzvah al kol chochom v'chochom v'yoyshe l'lamed es kol ha'tamid. There's another mitzvah. If you're able and capable to teach everyone Torah. Av ha'pi she'ein ha'bon, even though not your children. Shenemar says in the Pasuk, V'shinantem l'vanecho, V'pi ha'shmu ha'lomdu, This we did not see in the Gemara. And this is actually not a Gemara. This last Chiddush of the Rambam, the first Chiddushim of the Rambam, was Gemara. We read it together. Chiddush of Lamed Aleph. You have a Chiv to teach your son. You have a Chiv to teach your grandson. So the Lechem Mishnah points out, the Ketzer Mishnah, if you get it ready, one of the commentaries on the side, you see from the Rambam Paskins, that we darshan b'neichem, b'loy b'nei seichem, and there is a Chiv to teach your grandchildren. Point. Where did the Rambam get this last Chiddush, that there's a Chiv to teach every Jew? So that's a Sifri. Sifri writes on the Pasuk, Shinanta Muvanecha, Elu Talmidim. Fine. So now we have a third level. We have son, grandson, and any Jew. So Frek the Rambam, in Cain, Loma Nitztava al Benoy val Ben Benoy. Frek the Rambam, Gavaldik Akasha. If the Torah is going to tell me I have to teach everyone Torah, so why does the Torah bother telling me teach your son and teach your grandson? The Torah should just say teach everyone and I have to teach everyone. Everyone includes my son and my grandson. So why did the Torah specifically learn out drashas for son and grandson? Zok the Rambam, why? Im kein lomen nit stav al benoy va ben benoy la haktim benoy le ben benoy u ben benoy le ben chaveroy. Zok the Rambam, this was to teach you priority. Who goes first? Zok the Rambam, son, grandson, the neighbor's kid. That's priority. So if you sit down, what?
If you're not a chacham, that's a fair question, right?
That would be the other nafkamina. We'll come back to that. That's a good point. So according to the Rambam, it's a priority. I show up to shul with my son Shabbos day, and I want to learn with him. But you know, the kid sitting at the end of the table is having a hard time with the sugya, so maybe I should learn with him. So up to the Rambam, no, your son goes first.
How does he know that?
Oh, we'll get to that. That's a good question. That's a very good question. According to the Rambam, the ganze chiddush in the Gemara is priority: son, grandson, the neighbor's kid. So lechayra, you can.
What do you mean? Wouldn't you know from the pasuk for Shinanta Levanecha comes first?
What comes first?
To teach his son.
Shinanta Levanecha is the other kids. Lumatam es Benechem is your son.
Why not for Shinanta Levanecha to leave Nei Venecha?
That's not the drasha. That's not how the Gemara learns it from. You're onto the right. You say with the wrong pasuk. You're mechavim to something that Moshe says, which we'll come back to in a minute. But according to the Ram, let's just read the words around. There's a priority. It goes son, grandson, the neighbor's kid. So Seth pointed out, there's another nafkamina. If you look at the Lashon Rambam very carefully, the Rambam said, when do you have to teach a neighbor's kid? If you attack a chacham. Right? It's not a toiva to anyone if you teach the neighbor's kid wrong pshat and gemar. You know, no, we don't need enough. There's plenty of amaratas already in the world. We don't need more. So Dr. Rambam, don't do me a favor by teaching the kid wrong. So if you attack a bar hachi, you can teach, then you have a chid. It sounds like, but if you're a father, you don't have that patur. The father can say, I'm an amaratas, leave me alone. No, you got to figure out a way. Hire a rabbi, this and that. So that's the whole one simple nafkamina. Now, Belineda, we'll see next week. The Rambam in the next halacha drops the bomb chiddush that we have to talk about paying. That's the biggest nafkamina, is you got to pay for your kid, you don't have to pay for the neighbor's kid. And that the Rambam doesn't seem to lay out for us over here, which Lineda will have to deal with next week. But what does the Rambam tell us? That the ganze chiddush in the Torah is priority. Who goes first? Your son, your grandson, the neighbor's kid. My kash on the Rambam is the following. Who told the Rambam that the neighbor, that your grandson beats out your son?
Your son, you meet someone else.
Why did you? No. I can live with the fact that the neighbor's kid is on the bottom. Why? Because he's not really a posse. He's a drush on a Sifri.
They're not
going to
that, but he said by the women and the girls.
I mean, you want to live from like the Pnei Yeshua says. So Vanachlos, okay, that's a good shot. I hear. I'm bothered. My cash is like this. And I was happy to see that I saw it was asked by two Gedolim, one Svar the Shah, one Ashkenazim, that who told the Rambam that grandson takes second fiddle to son? They're both learned from Sukkim. They're both from Sukkim in the Torah. Not like one's a Pasuk in Novi and one's a Jewish. They're both biblical Pasukim.
So,
that's not the way we learn from.
No, but that's what we know that already.
No, but that's not the Makar. The reason why you have to teach your grandchildren is because it says in the Chumash.
What does it say?
Why? It says, Vahidato
Levanecho.
Oh, that's what Moshe says. That's what Moshe's pshat. That's what you were referring to. But Moshe wants to answer because look at the Chumash. It says, Vaidatal Livnech of Nevenech. Now, the problem I have with that is, so why don't I learn from there the Chiv to teach your son Torah also?
No, because there's a difference between making it and Limaratah.
So then, how do you have a Chiv to teach? One second. The Monashach. If this Pasuk is available to teach me a Chiv to teach my grandchildren, so why can't I learn children in that Pasuk also?
No, because one is like, it's the mitzvah to do of limatem as benechem. It only says benechem. Vodata is just they have the ideas. So maybe there's a chilek between whether you teach him or someone else could teach him.
Well, I'm lost. One second. Let's start again. We have a pasuk by datel of nechel of nevenech. Zok tigmar from that pasuk we learn that the chiv to teach your grandchildren because it says the word bnei benech.
What's the part before that pasuk by way starts with?
No, it's talking about what happened at Har Sinai.
Vodata mutvanechel of nevenech.
Right. So Zokta Gemara, I learned from this. It says the word B'nei Benecha, they have a mitzvah to teach your grandchildren. Fine. Zokta of Moshe, well, if you go in order, it says Benecha, then B'nei Benecha.
That's what
I've seen that.
Yeah. That's to teach, that's Zachiros. That's one of the Shays Zachiros.
Again, that's Machoikis. The Gemara learns from this pasuk. This is the Gemara. Again, this is not me. The Gemara says, I learned from this pasuk that you have a chiv to teach your grandchildren third. So my kasha is Mamonavshah. If this pasuk is available to teaching Torah, use it for sons. It says, Levaidata Livonech. Terah says, so it's not good enough for sons, but it's good enough for grandchildren. So that already should show you that there's a difference between grandchildren and children. Ram doesn't say that. Ram just says the difference is just an hierarchy. I'll ask a different question. Is there a chiv in how much you have to teach your grandchildren versus how much you have to teach your children?
No.
Again, they're two different sources. I don't get it. To all our ears, it sounds like, how can that be? My grandson's more important than my son? Again, they're two independent drushes. We're always thinking as our grandchildren, as offshoots of our children. Is that the right way to think? Maybe grandchildren are a separate entity. They are my grandchildren. You can't use them for tax deductions, but etzem, they're a separate entity that the Torah demanded of us. Not only do we teach our children, we have to teach our grandchildren. Not just because they're my child's child. That's really the question. And the biggest nafkamina will be, what about your daughter's son? I don't have to teach my daughter Torah. Why should I have to teach her son? If the chiv of a grandchild is an offshoot of my chiv vis-a-vis the child, so then when I have a daughter, then it doesn't make any sense. I don't have to teach her, but I have to teach her grandchild, her daughter, or her son. So says, we have to rethink how we look at this. You have to look at grandchildren as an independent entity. You have a child, and you have a grandchild. You have to teach him, you have to teach him. So why is one take kedim over the other? Again, we have to, I've been working on this. We have to retrieve, voila?
You have to teach the granddaughter. No, you need a special lima to teach me that I don't have to teach granddaughter. No. I have a lima that I don't teach your grandson?
No, because you never have to teach girls to. I mean, that is pasha. If I don't teach my daughter Torah, I don't see what I have to teach my granddaughter Torah.
The kasha
is the other way around. If I have my daughter's son, do I have to teach my daughter's son Torah? So again, it depends on how you look at this. If you look at your grand, right, if it's an independent, so the Torah says teach grandson's Torah. So I have Baruch Hashem, I have a grandson for my son, I have a grandson for my daughter. It's going to get even more complicated. Who gets kedima? Does your daughter's son?
The son always gets kedima because he's first.
Not necessarily. What do you mean? Depending on the case. Let's say you have your kids over for Yom Tov, right? Today, they're having much bigger gaps in you know, you can have a grandson who's almost the same age as a son. I have a sister who's younger than two of my nieces. Right? That happens.
Normally, you can't have a grandson without a son.
Hey, hey. You can have different children. You sit down at the table, you have a grandson, and you have your son, right? Your son's, 15 years old. Your grandson's 7. Who do you teach Torah to? Whatever the case. I don't think it's so hard. Who do you teach first? Who do you teach first? Shabbos afternoon, Yom Tov afternoon, you have two kids at the table. You have your son and your grandson. Who goes first? Okay, fine, good.
No, your son comes first.
Why?
Because normal circumstance said the son is before a grandson. So he's already
had him. Who do you love more, your grandson or your son?
No, it's a different chiv. Again, it's a chiv you. You as a person have a chiv to teach your son and a chiv to teach your grandson. Punk, they have to both be at the same table. What do you do now? The Rambam says clearly. So if the Rambam b'noi kaidim leben b'noi, I want to know who told the Rambam that. Havana Vesh, how do you know? So you're saying the Rambam is a practical thing?
A practical
thing. It doesn't sound like that. Kind of like this is a halachic, alumnus of the way this mitzvah was set up. The hierarchy.
No, he's not saying it before.
The case
is presented in front of
him. I think in Lahalacha and
Alumnus.
Which one?
Who
yes.
So, how do we even come up to
that's what Moshe said. What do you mean?
You had a question about your daughter's son.
Yes.
But the source is a little B'nai Vanecha.
Says so that Levanecha, that's one comment. Right. So the question is, do we take B'nai Dafka or not? Right. We'll see. Okay. We'll get to it. It's a big discussion. Yeah. We're going to get to it.
It only stops at the second generation.
No. We'll talk about that also. Not so posh. Maybe it goes more generations. We'll get to that. Also a big Shiloh. So that's my cash on the ramp. But let's look in the Kesef Mishnah for a second. Says the Kesef Mishnah, number 10. V'loi B'nai Ben B'nai B'vav P'ya Shmuel Amanu B'nech El Famidim B'Sifri. So the Kesef Mishnah right away is letting you know the second half of this Rambam is not a Gemara. This whole thing about teaching Talmidim is a Sifri. Fine. Says the Rambam, Imkei Loman Itztavik. Kavanas Rabbeinu. Says the Ketzav Mishnah. What the Rambam want to do over here? Lo say Shnei Havdolim Bein B'noi Leben Chavirin. The Rambam says the purpose of this Rambam was to make two distinctions between your son and your friend's son. Echad, the benoy koidem, your friend goes first. Sheni, the benoy chayv liskolay melamed mueni yochol av a ben chaver ina chayv liskolay melamed. No, I meant the other way around. Zok the Rambam, Zok the Kesef Mishnah. The Rambam has two chilukim between benoy and ben chaver. He doesn't talk about ben benoy yet. Just between benoy and ben chaver. Zok the Rambam, Kesef Mishnah. Chiluk number one is priority, and chiluk number two, which we'll get to the next week, is payment. The Rambam says very clearly, you do not have to pay money for ben chaver. You do have to pay money for benoy. Zok the Kesef Mishnah. Now the Kesef Mishnah continues. He says the efsher de ledas rabbeinu tam gam leben benoy chayiv lisko loy melamed. Says the Kesef Mishnah, I'm not sure. I don't know what the Rambam holds about paying tuition for your grandson. I don't know. What's the suffix? So we learned last week the suffix is because the Rambam is very vague. The Rambam says, Chayv Adam Liska Malamid Libnoi, the Eina Chayv Liska Malamid Leben Chaveru. So the Diak is, well, what about the middle ground? What about the Ben Benoi? So we said you could be Medayik either way. So we learned Pashat, that was the suffix of the Kesef Mishnah. Suffix of the Kesef Mishnah is which side of the Rambam to be Medayik? Well, Lineda will learn. But today, we'll see in other weeks, there's a much more lumdish way of learning this topic of the Kesef Mishnah. What's this lumdish way of learning this topic of the Kesef Mishnah? What's the nature of the chi of a ben benoy? If the nature of the chi of a ben benoy is like your son, so then you should have to pay money. If I have to pay money to teach my son, I have to pay money to teach my grandson. But if the chi to teach your grandson is not because he's your grandson, but because more like he's a ben chaver, just a little closer, so in the same way, I don't have to pay for ben chaver, I don't have to pay for my grandson. So we're going to have to come back to this Bli Neder at some point. But let's just read the rest of the Kesef Mishnah. Uben ben benoy. What about third generation? Nearly pasha the kaidem leben chaver. That beats out the ben chaver. The nokad ben benoy, who adin leben ben benoy. Okay, we'll come back to that also. Avul homisapkul. So the Kesef Mishnah, this I don't know. Iben bitoy kaidem leben chaver. What about my grandson from my daughter? And the neighbor's kid.
Well, this is a given that Ben Beno goes before Ben Bitoy.
That's what it sounds like, right? It sounds like it's Pasha, according to the Rambam, Ben Benoy beats up Ben Bitoy. The question is, what about Ben Bitoy versus Ben Chaveru? Says the kid. Who?
Why isn't this?
That's part of our question, right? Because I don't have a chiv to teach my daughter Torah.
No, but I'm saying, in other words, why can't, I guess, whatever, sneers aside, that my daughter is at least as equal to a Chaveru?
No, I'm not saying it might be. I'm not saying it's worse.
No, it might be better. Right. That's the question. Question: is she better or equal? Says the Kesef Mishnah. This I'm not sure about. In ben bitoy koydem leben chaver. Again, ben benoy we know beats out ben chaver. What about ben bitoy? What do you see from the Kesef Mishnah? He's already assuming that ben bitoy is a lower level. Why is ben bitoy a lower level? Because
it's not
the, okay, at least in the suffix, he's assuming.
The door,
right. I mean, the fact that it's through the door that somehow weakens up my chiv. The F should the ain't koydem the ben chaver el hechad in ischay ba'aviv. It's only because I have a chiyuv to teach her this baby's father. Avagabi basta lekalemim hachila. So we'll have to get back to this also. I just want to lay out all the questions. Right. So he's zok the Kesef Mishnah. I don't know who beats out. Does your grandson from your daughter beat out ben chaver or not? So right away you see from the Kesef Mishnah, he's putting ben bitoy on a lower level.
Not independent on the grandchild.
Right. At least that's his stuff.
Does anybody say, like Chaim was alluding to before, that maybe like Jesal's Ben Beno, you know, it's the same thing with work when it says leave Nechem, that it means it's your children.
So the fact that it comes from a daughter first, it's still Benechem because, absolutely, you know, Harry Bun, you know, B'nei Bun Kibanim.
We already said you can't use the word B'nei Bun Kibanim over here because it says the word Benechem.
No, but leave Nechem means to the next generation.
So who's the next generation?
In other words, your grandson, even though it comes from a daughter.
Possibly.
So
there isn't. I'm saying you don't find that by other mitzvahs.
But you do. I thought there's a concept of
which mitzvah?
Any mitzvah that's not complete. You know that
there'd be no specific mitzvah that the grandfather would have to make sure his grandson has a pigeon aben.
As an individual,
that's going to be a much more general. That Arvus doesn't mean I have to go out and do it. Arvus means I can be moitzi you. But here we're saying you have a chiyuv to go do it. If you see your grandson sits around a whole day and does nothing, I don't think you have to go out and make it. You could do certain things, but you don't have a chiyuv to go out. Meaning, if I know my grandson, I'm sure people sadly know this situation. You know, your grandson's home and does nothing all day long. He's home, plays on his phone. You have a chiyuv to get up and say, "Listen, I'm going to get you to a yeshiva. I'm going to get you a chavrusa." That's if the grandfather has a chiyuv tam mutar. So I found the Sefer Divrei Yaakov.
Yeah. When he says kishem, that it is the same thing.
That's what I thought. When you start the Rambam, kishem sounds like they're the same lumdas. So you're going to have to say that kishem just means, you know, it's a checklist. Just like I have to do this, I have to do that. But not working with the same lumdas.
Why say kishem?
Yeah. I when I started with this Rambam, the first opening line, it sounds like it's the same lumdas. But then the Rambam starts making all these chalukim. So it gets problematic.
Is another halacha where he talks about the sun? Or is this the only
place? This is it. This is the main place.
We didn't even introduce the sun.
Well, again, yeah, he starts right away. This is the levels. You have sun, grandson, and, you know, this is the process. Now, I found over in the Sefer Divrei Yaakov, Yaakov Adas. So Yaakov Adas was one of the great Svardish Rabbanim, Rosh Hashivas.
It's not the Nathans.
Correct, but that Mechayr should be, meaning, it's hard to say Kishem that's exactly the same, and even Kadima, they're not the same.
No, you can't do two things simultaneously. So you have to pick.
Okay, it could be Avad, the Ramagris, and Lomnus are the same, but for some reason, priority, one beats out the other. Yeah, you can multitask today. So, Yaakov Adas, one of the great Svardish Rabbonim, he was Taka the Rebbe of Ravadja and some Rabbi Shaul, some great Svardish Rabbonim. So, he has our Kashim, but he takes it even more Gishmak. He says, V'yeshul Estapik, Bahani Kedimas Del El, Echad Dinim Ben Benoy Yosem Atzliach Bebenoy. He says, remember, we had a Gemara on Daf Chof Tes and the base where it was all about who's going to do better, you or your son, who's going to be better. He says, let's say you have a grandson and a son, right? You have a chiv teach them both tired, but you know your grandson is going to be better than your son. Does the grandson beat out the son? And it's all mesuvav on the same shayla. Is the chiv grandson a toitsa from the chiv son, or is it an independent chiv? So he clears the shayla, yesh lo stopping. Bahani kadim is talel. Echad din in ben benoy yoysim atzleich mi benoy. If you think that your grandson will be more successful in Yeshiva, you only have a certain amount of money, assuming everyone has to be, let's say it's money, right? So you have to spend money to send someone to Yeshiva. It's either going to be your son or your grandson. And you know, you can see your grandson's going to be, now you already wrote off your son. You already said, I know he's not going to do anything. My grandson, I have hope for him, right? So he wants to know, so this is really a different child. What happens if you have two kids and you said, listen, I know my son, I love him, he's great. He's not, this is not for him. But that kid down the block, who Nebuch is, no one learns with him, he's going to be a superstar one day. So maybe I should talk and divert my energy and learn with him instead of learning with my son. So that Shaila is a little easier to work. Why? Because we already know that the Chiyuv of Ben Chaveri is very different than the Chiyuv of Benoy. Chiyuv of Benoy is you have to teach your son Torah. So that's whether he'll become a Gadol Ador or not is irrelevant, sorry, I would assume. But in Ben Benoy, with Benoy and Ben Benoy, I'm much more hesitant because those two are both the same Chiyuv. I have a chiv to teach my son, I have a chiv to teach my grandson. Whatever one is, the other is. So if there's some priority, maybe one does beat out the other. Interesting, Shaila. And then he says, Tzarech bir, mino nafka lele Rambam kedimas bonim lebnei bonim. Who told the Rambam that sons go before grandchildren? Bishlama hani mishar b'nei chaveri remi zichsev lukra. Bishlama before b'nei chaveri. I can live with that. That's a pasuk mechomesh. Avo bonim lebnei bonim minolim. Daka, this bothered me. I found in Dibros Moshe, which we'll hopefully get to Blineda next week, if Moshe is also bothered with this discussion. Why do Bnei Banim beat out Banim? Why is it so pasha to the Rambam that? Even in the world of Kadima, Mechatesa and Kadima, they beat them out. So let's just see the Me'iri number 12. Talk to Me'iri. V'alzu shayla ad heichen adam chayv lamin ez b'nei teir, kloymer, ad kama deiris, v'hu meishiva kizvul medon shalam de avi yavim, kloymer, shechayv af b'ben haben, oy b'ben habas. So chiddush number one from the Me'iri puts, same. Your son's daughter, Your daughter's son and your son's son are equal. Right off the bat, the Me'iri says, without batting an eyelash, grandchildren are grandchildren, no matter who their parents are. He's holding two separate. So he's holding it to do, it's, we'll call it a grandparent chiv. Independent grandparent chiv. Right? You have a grandchild and you have a grandchild, doesn't matter where they come from. And then he writes, in Ein Loy Ezer Mitzaro Av, if there's no help from the father. What does the Me'iri want with these five words? The Me'iri is learning that the entire time the grandfather chiyuv kicks in is only when the parents are missing. When the parents are not doing their job. But if the parents are doing their job, then the grandparents step aside.
You're basically a backup.
Exactly. Now, I think from the Rambam, it does not sound like that at all. The Rambam makes no mention of this. It sounds like from the Rambam, there's like a dual chiyuv. There's the parents doing their thing and the grandparents doing their thing. Everyone is their own egin chiyuv to do what they have to do. Right, it's coming a very strange thing, right? You have three generations together. You're there with your son and your grandson. The grandson says, okay, I'm going to learn with my father. You're like, no, I have to learn with you. Right, it's a very big chiddush over here. Yeah, it's something, you know, Shabbos afternoon ball of who gets learned. He's like, forget it, you guys fight, I'm going to play ball, right? I'm not interested anymore. That obviously, right. So the Me'iri is the one who tells us clearly it's only when the father's not here. But without, again, when I learn the Rambam, I don't get that feeling from the Rambam. The question is, so how does that work out practically? I don't know. But in Lomdus, it sounds like according to the Rambam, it's an independent chiv. You're a grandparent, right? Grandparents are grandparents even when the parents are parents, right? That's not a stira. Right? You're a grandparent. Now, obviously, I guess if he's getting the chiv via the father, there's only so much more you're going to do. But what more are you going to do? I guess the moments he's not learning with his father, then you'll learn with him and you'll get a check. But, you know, listen, don't let the tuition boards convince you that you have to pay double tuition. Also, grandparents, you have a chiv, you tuition. Now, that you definitely don't have to pay twice. But in Lomdus, according to the Rambam, it sounds like there might be an independent chiv whether or not the parents are doing their job or not. Okay, Mr. Next week, we'll get to the next page where we'll see a fundamental machloikis between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Reuven Gudzinski, Baruch Be'er's son-in-law, about how to understand all of these chiyuvim. What is the nature of a chiyuv of Talmud Torah to sons and grandsons as well, Mr. Shem next week?
Good.
Okay.
Thank you, Rebbe. Yeah.